You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Alex Olin has just published a new novel called Inside and a new collection of short stories called Signs and Wonders. Each examines the connections people make with each other and how those connections often bend and break. Inside is Miss Olin's second novel. It's published by Knopf. Signs and Wonders is her second collection of short stories. It's published by Vintage. And I'm very pleased to welcome Alex Olin to our show today. Hello.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So is it just a coincidence that you have these two books coming out at the same time? And they're both the second?
I don't know if it's a coincidence or a diabolically clever plan on the part of my publisher. I think the idea was to try and get a little more attention for the books by doing the strange thing of putting two books out at the same time.
Had you written them simultaneously?
I did sort of write them simultaneously in the sense that I'd been working on the novel for quite a few years, and to me, one of the important things as a writer is to really live with the characters for a long time, to really spend time with them, and sometimes that means taking a break from it and getting a little distance. So during those moments of distance, I would take a break and go off and write a short story or two and sort of flex those different muscles and then come back to the novel.
Well, you took 16 breaks.
Yes, exactly. It wound up being quite a large stack because I was stopping and starting on the novel fairly frequently, as it turns out.
Yeah, but what happens? Your mind is in the middle of a short story, or you've just completed a short story, and those characters are still alive in your head, and now you're going back to the novel. Is it easy to just pick it up? Does that help in picking up the novel where you left off?
I found that it helped enormously because taking a break from the characters of the novel, or it has a slightly complicated structure that moves around a little bit in time. When I took a break from it and I came back and I was really able to see it fresh and work through some of the problems that I was having with it, and it helped. It did help.
And many writers have real struggles with their second novels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that happened with you. How much of a challenge was it?
Well, I think that most writers have struggles with every novel that they write, it seems to me. But for this novel, I did find it difficult in that I was trying to do something quite different from my first book, which had been a relatively simple coming-of-age story. This book has three characters, and their lives intersect over the course of 10 years. And it's really a different canvas for me. And so I did take my time in trying to work out all the intricacies of it.
Although the chapters in the novel are written sort of like short stories.
Mm-hmm. That's true in the sense that each chapter is written from the perspective of a particular character at a given moment in time. And then the novel sort of builds through the accumulation of these different moments and the connections that the reader is able to perceive among them.
So you don't have to do this continuing narrative. The reader fills in the spaces in between.
Absolutely. And to me, that was one of the things that I thought would be interesting about it, is giving the reader the opportunity to use their memory of what came before, project what might happen in the future, and to perceive what the connections were between these different characters.
Well, I would say that the theme of this novel is about saving people, or trying to. Was that something you wanted to explore?
Yeah, absolutely. The book is really about helping. So there are three main storylines, and in each of them, a person is given the opportunity or the occasion to reach out and help someone else. And as these storylines entwine, sometimes a person who was the helper in one storyline at another moment in time winds up being the person in need of help. So the result, I hope, is a book that really meditates on this question of what it means to try to save someone, what drives us to try to help people, and why is that imperative important, even if we don't always succeed?
Well, two of the characters are therapists, so their profession is to help others, but as you say, they don't always succeed, and they may sometimes be able to help others, but that doesn't mean that they always know what's best for themselves.
Yes, that's absolutely the case.
At the start of the novel, Grace comes across a man lying in the snow on a cross-country skiing trail. And why is he there?
He has tried to commit suicide. He's tried to hang himself from a tree in the park, and the branch that he tied himself to has broken off. And Grace, who is a therapist, comes across his body and not only saves him in the immediate sense of getting him to the hospital, but then really takes it upon herself to continue to look in on him, to really insert herself into his life. And she says that the imperative to look after this man would be a way of feeling her own weight in the world.
Well, it goes further than that. I mean, she She probably knows that he is a troubled person, and yet she has a relationship with him.
She absolutely knows it, and she probably crosses the boundaries of therapeutic common sense and winds up falling in love with him, and they have a brief but tumultuous relationship.
And Tug was an aid worker in Rwanda in 1994 when the civil war and genocide broke out there. For him, trying to help people in the midst of that traumatized him. Have you known people who've gone through that, or did you pick up all that information from reading books like Romeo Dallaire's and Philip Gurevich's book?
Yeah, those were some of the main sources. I haven't personally known many people who were aid workers, but the story of Romeo Dallaire, the Canadian general who worked for the UN during the Rwandan genocide, was something that I had read about and listened to him speak, and it touched me so much, the way that he was so permanently shattered by the experience and has done his best to talk about it really openly after the fact. So for me, the Rwandan section of the book was a way of exploring this question of helping on a larger scale, almost on an international or political scale, what happens when nations are driven to try to help or not to help other places that are in trouble.
I do have a funny story about Romeo Dallaire, who has been on a show a number of times. Romeo, I think it is, Dallaire. One time he was followed by Nick Nolte, who played him in a movie and the character was not a hero in the movie. Mm-hmm. And as General Dallaire came out of the studio, Nick Nolte said, I'm really pleased to meet you, man. Don't blame me. I was just doing the script.
That's really funny. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think anyone would be a little sort of taken aback by the experience of having Nick Nolte play them in the movie.
You open the story collection, Signs and Wonders, with a quote from The Ballad of a Sad Cafe by Carson McCullers. Is she one of your favorite writers?
She is one of my favorite writers, and she is one of the first writers I really fell in love with as a teenager. Her book, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, and then The Ballad of the Sad Cafe, which is such a strange little book. It's really more a novella, and it features a love story between a dwarf and a very strange masculine woman. It's really a romantic story, but a weird story about two very unusual people.
And she wrote, this is what you quote, "So there's only one thing for the lover to do. He must house his love within himself as best he can. He must create for himself a whole new inward world, a world intense and strange, complete in himself." What are you trying to tell us with that quote?
Well, you know, when I was writing these short stories, I never thought of them as being linked by any particular theme. I was always just exploring an idea or spending some time with a particular character who was interesting to me. But when I was faced with the completed stack that made up the collection, I thought, I wonder if there is a unifying theme in them. And I realized that they really are a collection of love stories, and not necessarily in the romantic boy meets girl sense, but in the sense that we do have passionate love affairs with the people in our lives, our children, our coworkers, our friends, and that really is the thing that unifies the whole set of stories.
Writers have told me any number of times that they didn't realize what they were totally up to until they went on the book tour and people started asking them certain kinds of questions.
I think that's true. And as a writer, in some ways, you don't want to be so self-aware that you're writing toward a particular theme. That would create, I think, an essayistic effect at times. And it sort of behooves the writer often to be working in a more instinctual, perhaps clueless way.
My guest is Alex Olien. She has two books that have just come out at the same time, Inside, a novel published by Knopf, and Signs and Wonders, a collection of short stories published by Vintage, which is pretty much the same company, actually,
right.
All part of one of the big publishing conglomerates. At the start of one of the stories, Vigo Park, one of the stories in Signs and Wonders, you write, "There's a gun at the beginning of this story, placed here so that you know it's going off by the end."
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about Chekhov when you wrote that, I assume.
Right, absolutely. And for me, that story was really a fun way to play with readerly expectations, to go ahead and acknowledge the fact that there is a reader reading the story, breaking the fourth wall in a way, and to say, well, okay, the suspense is not going to be what happens. The suspense is going to be how and why.
But that could also apply to your novel. The character Tug, who tried to commit suicide at the beginning, functions like a gun in some ways throughout the novel. He's either going to be saved or he's not.
That's true. And I suppose I would say the same thing about Tug, which is that it's not necessarily supposed to be a huge surprise to the reader that things don't work out very well between Tug and Grace. What I hope the mystery of the novel is in the particular emotional experiences of the characters.
Many of the stories in Signs and Wonders deal with the challenges of starting new relationships after a divorce. Do people assume that there's a strain of autobiography in these stories?
Yeah, people tend to assume there's a strain of autobiography in everything that I write. And I am not myself divorced, just to say that, but I think that it's an interesting moment for me when characters are forced to start over. It's a moment where you have to redefine yourself and you're asking a lot of questions about your identity. So it's a good and rich and fruitful moment to try to follow a character through.
But as you said earlier when we were talking about how the chapters in the novel are connected largely through what the reader brings to it. You don't go into very specific detail in your writing about why certain things drive people apart. You don't spell out exactly why people feel a certain way or do a certain thing and what it means. So can you talk a bit about being subtle and restrained in your approach to writing?
Yeah, I think that it is one of the ways in which readers understand characters is by being forced to draw their own conclusions in the middle of a scene. But I think another reason for that quality of my work may be that I think oftentimes we aren't aware of why we do things until much later after the fact. I mean, that's one reason why people go to therapy is because their understanding of their own life feels limited or constrained or somehow dysfunctional. So we're often mysteries even unto ourselves, and perhaps that's a quality that's communicated in my work.
Inside and the stories in Signs and Wonders take place in various cities, Montreal, New York, Los Angeles, Edinburgh, Kigali, Iqaluit.
Iqaluit. That's in northern Canada.
So have you gone to all these places?
I've gone to almost all of them. The only place that I've never been to is Rwanda, but all of the other places are ones where I've spent usually a pretty significant amount of time. Montreal is where I grew up. New York is a place that I have lived. I've spent a lot of time in Los Angeles and visited Edinburgh. So it's a book that I think ties together some of my own personal autobiography, at least in terms of place.
Well, Mitch, one of the characters in Inside, goes up to Iqaluit for a time to work as a therapist there. Is there a great need for therapy in the Inuit community?
Well, there is. There are a lot of problems with poverty and alcohol and drug addiction and mental illness in northern Canada. And his job when he's there is to try to work to address those problems. And he is, in some ways, feels powerless to actually redress them because it is such a systemic and difficult situation there.
Do settings determine a lot about the mood or tone of a story for you?
In some ways, yes. I think that one of the things that was interesting to me was to try to use characters and their relationship to where they're from, whether they feel like an insider or an outsider, to use that to create a certain emotional mood. So for Mitch, this character, he comes from Montreal up to northern Canada. He is the white man who is there to work with the native population, and obviously there's a really complex dynamic involved in that. So that's one of the things that I was exploring.
Writers tell me that the question that they hear as much as the autobiographical question is, where did the ideas, your stories come from?
Yeah, people always
want to know.
Not
everyone likes to give an answer to that.
Well, it's a harder question to answer than it may immediately appear. For this book, the entire genesis of it was that opening scene, which is on Mount Royal in Montreal, large park, which is sort of the equivalent of Central Park. And this moment in which a woman who is cross-country skiing comes across a person in need and tries to rescue him. That scene just appeared in my head and replayed itself over and over again. And I was really struck by it emotionally and imaginatively. So I built the entire book really out from there.
Well, you teach writing.
I do.
And I'm sure you see things that come from all sorts of different sources. Most young writing actually comes from the popular culture. Is that something you try to discourage?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, some writers are very influenced by, the film and TV shows that they are watching right now. I think what's important for young writers is not to think that there's one particular kind of writing that they have to do, not to feel constrained either by autobiography or popular culture, but to write as much and as widely as they can. So that's what I try to tell them to do.
Alex Olin, O-H-L-I-N. Her collection of short stories is called Signs and Wonders. It's from Vintage. Her new novel is Inside. It's from Knopf. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks for having me.